the news of the day. We read the latest jaw-dropping headlines. We pick the channels and sites that slant towards our own beliefs. We hear political figures spew rhetoric about fake news, persuading us to lose trust in the media, to doubt all journalists and reporters, to instead follow the leader on Twitter, to go directly to the belly of the bias. But forget the clever banter, ignore the witty retort, renounce persuasion and propaganda, dismiss the orchestrated event, reject the scripted reality TV, disregard the distractions of absurdity, follow the facts, pay attention to policy, watch what your government is doing, not what your government is saying, read the words of journalists with integrity, and decide for yourself what you believe. Decide for yourself what is right, what is ethical. And when immoral actions are taken in your name,
Sunday afternoon, everybody. This is Annie Booker.
And Joyce Hope.
And we are on Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. Today is another beautiful Sunday afternoon here in Minnesota. Getting lots of good vitamin D this weekend. Actually, on and off for the past week. It's been pretty nice, humid, but I'm not complaining because I was rather sick of the rain and the cold and the snow until May, so I am not going to complain.
No kidding, right?
Yeah. So welcome to the show today. We hope that you get lots of good information. Anything new with you this week, Joyce? I saw some exciting news on Facebook.
Yeah, I kind of decided it's 6 months ago that I was working out a lot, and I was like, I work with, clients from a nutritional perspective all the time. But so I was like, I kind of want to know more about, like, the physical side of it, like, why we work out the way we do. So I went and decided to take a personal training course. And so I took that test on Friday, and I passed. So I guess I'm officially a personal trainer.
Woo! Great. Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was really an interesting read. Like, I know a lot about the body, but it gets really in-depth with muscles. Like, I know your rotator cuff generally, but it has, like, several muscles, you know? So,
right.
Even the names. Honestly, I have a medical background, and, you know, in some ways, like, it helps, like, talking about, you know, frontal planes and then, like, sagittal planes and different things that I already knew what those were because of my medical background, which helped a little bit. But some of the names that they come up for these muscles, I was like, okay, who made this stuff up?
Yeah. That's what I think about the English language in general. I always think, who made this up? This is not right.
Like, they're just, like, the strangest way that I have no idea. It's, like, almost like someone just, like, made up a bunch of weird words.
Yeah, they put a bunch of letters together.
yes. But I'm like, this is really hard to track. Like, I know, you know, medical terminology and how, like, certain endings mean, like, inflammation and some, you know, mean different things. But, like, it was nothing like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like,
now, does it go into the nutrition at all or not? Because obviously there's so many different opinions on nutrition.
Well, they just say that you have to go by the USDA, whatever.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
So,
yeah. Gotcha.
When working in the personal training section. Now, again, I would assume that because it would be dependent on what people contracted me as, whether I was being contracted as their health coach, was I being contracted as their, like, nutritional coach, or am I contracted as their physical, you know, personal trainer for their physical, or they can contract me for both. And then I think I will be able to be a little bit more free, but because I have technically I have a ton of licenses and certificates. Where do you want me? You know?
Right.
You know? So, but I am excited because a lot of times when people come in and they do their scans and I'm working with them, you know, on a nutritional level, there is a physical component that can help.
Okay.
So I'm excited to bring that in as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so,
I noticed just,
you know,
there's such a huge, gosh, even if you can just break a sweat for like 15 minutes in the morning, there's just such a huge even mental shift that can happen, you know? I mean, I try to do like an hour every morning, whether it's weightlifting or a little bit of cardio, and it's like, it honestly, it makes my day, and it's just that sweating and being able to kind of unplug and be by myself, you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, outside, if you're going outside.
It's your you time.
It is. It's less about, like, exercising, and it's more about the psychological benefits. But, of course, you get the physical benefits as well. But I notice more the psychological stuff that gets better. I'm in a better mood, and I'm calmer for the rest of the day. And that stuff is just invaluable.
They do talk about that a lot in there. But they also talk about how quickly we can get out of shape.
Oh, like absolutely.
It takes, like, I think, two. So, like, let's say you worked out for a month. You would lose a quarter of that in 2 weeks. And, you know, you'd lose half of that by 1 month if you were out. And then, you know, like, by 2 months, if you didn't work out after that 1 month, you might as well, you're just starting over. And so I think that's really something that I think a lot of people do, right? Not just with their bodies in regards to working out, but with any goal that they're doing. I think that we sometimes start something, get really into it, and then we fall off, and then we end up back where we started.
Right.
And
for
sure. And so we never really get forward.
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
A lot of metaphor.
Even when I was pregnant, like just walking on the treadmill or, you know, because obviously I didn't do as much heavy things being pregnant, but just walking or doing some like squats or something just to like, so my muscles remembered, you know, how to work, you know?
Right.
And I feel like it was just really great.
Yeah, and the other thing that I really enjoyed is, you know, the first stage of training, you have to test people clearly to see where they're at.
Mm-hmm,
but the first
mm-hmm.
stage is they want to make sure you have mobility and
sure.
stability before you move
yep.
into anything else, right?
Yep.
And I think that's where we all go, a lot of us go wrong. Because if
oh,
you don't
yeah.
have the back muscles or you don't have, you know, people end up, like, really hurting themselves. And that's what you see a lot when, like, people go into boot camps or...
Mm-hmm.
you know, those high-intensity workouts, and they go there right away, like, a
mm-hmm.
lot of people get hurt because they don't
oh,
have that
yeah.
space.
Yeah, and a lot of it's not natural anyway. Like, there's some things in the workout world right now that it's like, I just don't think you should be doing that. You know, there's no part of that that seems normal to me. I get challenges and enjoyment, but the other part is, like, our bodies are built to move in several ways, I mean, more than several, but, you know, yeah, some things are a little out there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So that was kind of fun, and I was very stressed out about it.
oh,
you think
yeah.
of knowing as much as you know. It's just something completely different, and I'm very, very, very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was nervous that I wasn't going to remember every muscle, everything that needed to be on to be remembered, but I did.
Right. Was it an online test, or did
enough.
You have to go somewhere?
I had to go to, like, a testing center.
Okay.
And I was, like, given, like, three pieces of paper, two mechanical pencils, and a really, really basic calculator.
Yeah.
And that's really, and you had to lock your stuff up. So,
oh, wow.
And, like, the person who was administering the test had to put your stuff into the computer, and then you had to, like, it was fun. I got, you know, they give you 3 hours. I think it only took me, like, an hour and 45 minutes to complete.
Okay.
But I'm a big believer in the fact that you either know it or you don't.
Right. How long did it take you to
you
study
know
for it? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I signed up for the program back in... like 6 months ago.
Okay.
Last year. And then you know, give and take, you know, it's hard because a lot of the program I already, like, I know my bones, I know my, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm,
generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
So it was getting into the, like, I don't know, the being able to look at someone's back and be like, oh, I can see that your muscle, this muscle is probably weaker than this muscle, so we should work on that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, and a lot of it, you know, it's a self-done course. So,
right.
You know, I'm reading this, you know, 700-some page book, and it's talking about all these methods and different things, and I'm like, okay, I'm a kind of a visual learner and a kinesthetic learner, so, like, doing it. So sometimes
right.
I was a little frustrated because I'd be like, well, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so I read through the 800 page book basically, and then I did their online after, which had a lot more videos,
mm-hmm.
and so then I buzzed through that, which was went actually quicker because I'd already read the whole book.
Okay.
So and then I just watched the videos, and that helped a lot. And then I did a lot of practice tests.
Right. Oh, okay. You see that online then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I got a book. There's a book that was probably like 100, you know, it was a different test for every chapter. And then,
mm-hmm.
so they had some in the book, and then I did all of the practice ones per one online, and then I did like 4 or 5 full practice tests, which were 60 questions each.
Okay.
So getting a feel for what they would be asking, you know, and reading it appropriately.
Right. Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. How about you? What'd you do this week? Way more fun than studying, I'm sure.
Just more outside time. I last week, or I think last Saturday, I completed my 30-day challenge of 150 squats and 150 push-ups per day. So I did that, you know, every day for 30 days. And I won second place in that competition, which is pretty awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that was cool. And so then I was looking for another like physical challenge. So I just signed up for they give you like nutrition goals and fitness goals. So I'm gonna be doing that for the next 12 weeks just to keep myself
awesome.
Motivated and accountable. And
is it through the same people?
No,
it's
a totally different person. He's a like bodybuilder guy. So I have all my, meals macroed out and, my workouts. I just did a run today, like just a 4-mile run, nothing huge, but it's for me, it's nice to have somebody else lay out a program and just say, do it. Cause I know how to do all the things. I just get really bored trying to keep myself like not keep motivated, but to like come up with a new plan, I follow the same kind of weight training program that I have for years. And it's not super challenging and it's hard to come up with ideas on my own. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pay somebody to do it for me. And
so you signed up with a personal trainer? Or kind of?
Not really
kind of a
trainer.
Group?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a group. And then they just email you like exercise routines to do. And, Yeah, so it's stuff I know how to do, and we'll see if I can do it here at home because, we have weights and we have a bench, but some of the, I'm getting to the point where it's like I might need some actual gym equipment, so I might have to go back to the gym. I'd have to sign up again for the gym and so I can get those heavier machines.
Right. I kind of have with my online program for my clients, there is a workout component and then a meal plan. A meal plan optional that people can kind of go off of if they want to for meals. So that's kind of fun too. So weekly workouts and, start out pretty basic, but then you can go, you can grow depending
on
what your need is.
Yep, exactly. So we'll see what happens. I've been my youngest is old enough now where I could go to the gym, but I've been trying to just, do it at home for as long as I can, but some of the things I need kind of like a squat rack and things just for safety, like if I was to drop the weight or something like that, like I'm just getting to that point where I don't have the support I need. So we'll see. I'm excited though. I'm still doing carnivore. So I'm like on the second month of eating carnivore. So the meal plans are geared towards that. So yeah, that's kind of been my challenge.
So I have a question about carnivore. Can you maybe talk a little bit more about what that type of diet entails for people?
It's just different for everyone, which is kind of an interesting thing. So some people do 100% like beef and water, and that's all they eat, whatever, steaks or ground beef. And some people eat all different kinds of meat and water and coffee, and some people eat cheese and dairy, if it comes from an animal, they'll eat it. And then some people incorporate a little bit of plant. So it's more keto, so it's kind of a wide variety of things.
And
I think the focus is like mainly you're eating animal products.
Okay. And can you tell me where you were sitting on that?
I do I would say I'm like 99% carnivore. So I will maybe have a salad sometimes, but I don't, or like if it's part of the meal to have some herbs, because herbs aren't technically carnivore, right? So I'll have some mustard or there'll be, herbs and garlic in my stuff. So I would say 98% is animal meat or animal protein. And then the other 2% is like vegetables and spices.
Okay. And then
if you're in there.
So what have you noticed for changes?
To me it's very simple. So there's less like stress or less wondering what I should have. I'm getting enough protein, which is kind of an issue for me because it's not a natural thing for me to necessarily reach for protein. So then I have more energy. My workouts are much better. Like I feel a lot stronger. I weighed myself this month, but I didn't weigh myself before I went carnivore. But I've gone down like at least 2 sizes in like pants and stuff like that. And it's, Now I'm kind of counting macros because I want to see what happens when I do. But for the first 30 days, I was not. I just eat meat when I was hungry, and I would stop when I was full. And then I was just doing, you know, weightlifting. And I mean, I'm, like I said, I don't know if I lost weight, but I lost lots of inches and sizes and clothes.
Nice.
And what else? Just like very, you know, clear and even energy. And yeah, I mean, all good things. I've had no issues. I salt my food a lot. One of the things you have to do is eat more salt.
Okay.
You know, sea salt.
Do they say why?
Mostly at the beginning, because you are, you know, carbs bring in minerals. They, you know, because they bring in water. And so then with that brings in minerals. So at the very beginning, you're kind of transitioning. You are losing lots of minerals. So as you go on in carnivore, a lot of people don't have to necessarily do, you know, keep salting their food. I don't take any electrolytes. Some people do. I don't. I feel like if I needed to, then maybe I'd find a food that had that and just eat that instead. You know, that's an organ meat or, you know, a vegetable or something. But yeah, it's pretty cool, I guess. I like doing different things. I like trying out. I'm an experimenter. I try out everything. And it's usually not for any particular reason. I'm just like, I wonder what will happen if I do this.
See, this is the time of year that I would want to do that in the winter.
We don't really eat fruit at my house. See, like, we don't eat fruit. Fruit is not a part of our, when we did my son's and my husband's healing remedies, fruit was a huge trigger for them. So we really do not have fruit in the house. Maybe some frozen blueberries here and there. The only thing is our vegetable CSA. And like I said, I'll eat some vegetables here and there, but we don't, I mean, in Minnesota, you don't really have an abundance of fruit besides like berries right now anyways.
Right. Right.
So we don't really, it's
well,
not like we changed our diet.
General.
Yeah. And
right.
And so I'll have some here and there, and my family still does. I mean, we're able to eat whatever we want. So, I mean, they're free to eat. I still make bread for, you know, them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like if we serve whatever, I just eat the meat and they eat the rest. And it's not that, honestly, it's not that different from how we were eating before. We were probably 80% carnivore as a family on a normal basis.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's not like a huge shift for us.
I always find myself super. Now, okay, are you familiar with the blood type diet?
Yes.
So I don't necessarily, you know, I don't believe that there's a single one diet for every single person on earth. So there's plenty of different ones.
Right.
It's really interesting with the blood type diet about like what they say. So for me and my blood type, they say that I actually shouldn't eat that much meat. But I have to tell you, I crave meat.
Yeah, I don't believe in the blood type diet at all. I think it's really poor science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially,
you know,
now,
and
I feel like, yeah.
I mean, you got to go with what you, and one thing that, particularly with the stuff that I go through, is like I'm always struggling to get enough B12.
You get
your meat.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll know, like I'll start craving beef. Really bad, you know?
Yeah.
I even did this as a kid, actually. Like my dad was a deer hunter, so we'd have a ton of like deer meat in the freezer all the time.
Okay.
And so I would get home, like I would feel like weak and like I, you know, just needed meat. And so then I would go out to the freezer and take out a steak and I would cook it for myself and I would eat it straight because it would make me feel bad. Like that's what I was craving. And I don't know, you know, they're always checking my hemoglobin. It was always fine. But I'd like, but it was probably my B12 that kept, you know, not being able to absorb. So then I would, my body would say, oh, okay, I need this. And so then I guess intuitively I knew I needed to have it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, absolutely. I know I started, like, I'm we, you know, source our fish, and I'm not a huge fish lover. I like some salmon, but since I started eating more carnivore, all of a sudden it's like I am actually hungrier for healthier things. Like I really am like craving salmon and, you know, craving these things that I knew that I should be eating before. I just eat it because I knew I should and not necessarily because it sounded good to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Oh, and sleep. Like I have great sleep. I've never had trouble sleeping ever. Even, I mean, except for when I'm like really pregnant, and then that's just kind of a physical, like, how do I move my giant stomach from side to side? So that's more of a positional thing. But oh my gosh, like I've never experienced such deep, hard sleep, and I'm still nursing during the night. So it's not like I'm ever sleeping all the way through, but it's, I mean, I've never had this deep of a sleep where I'm like dreaming and, you know, sleeping deeply. And it, that part was, like, I look forward to going to sleep every night because it's such an awesome, such an awesome sleep. So that was like a huge shock. I know. And I would think like without carbs that you wouldn't, you know, some people have disrupted sleep, but I'm the opposite where it's like, holy cow, this is amazing.
Yeah. So I think our guest might be here.
Wonderful. Now today we're talking to Shar Tarana and her associate at Terrasum Movement. And Shar at least uses an offshoot of the Wallace method. And we're going to ask her what the Wallace method is and go over, you know, what they do with their practice, why they started it, and how it can help pretty much everybody from what I'm seeing here. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we come back, we will have Terrasum Movement on with us on Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, train drops reverse. I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it.
No diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, pollinator packs for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmers.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. I'm your host, Annie Booker.
And I'm Joyce Hope.
And with us this afternoon, we have two guests. We have Shar Tarana from Tarasoma Movement, and we have Natasha with Wallace Works. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. So, Shar, I'm just going to start with you with a quick question here. Well, I guess both of you, you both do the Wallace Method, and I am only familiar with the Wallace Method from what I've read from Shar's, when she answered some questions, some pre-show questions. Can you explain what it is? In like three words or
less.
We'll try. No, I'm just kidding.
No. So the Wallace Method is a very gentle and non-linear movement method. Movement and a little bit of stretching to help to get a person out of structural issues that are maybe causing pain.
Okay.
How's that sound, Natasha?
It's so true. it is definitely an approach that really is ends up gathering a lot of different techniques that have taken place before in different methods, but this combination and the gentleness of the approach makes it so that really this allows the person, the practitioner, to go deeper in the system and really find the root cause of the problem, which is different from a lot of work out there.
Right. Good point that it really does. And it really, truly does that for a lot of people. Most of our clients have been through a lot of other modalities and chiropractic. Not that there's not a lot of value to those things. There is tremendous value to all those things. But there, we do go deeper and we do really look for the root cause of and work with the person then to over time, because there's no quick fix here. Over time to get, you know, usually a person took 30 years to get into the difficulty. But luckily it doesn't take 30 years to get out. It might just take 6 months or a couple of years, depending on the severity of the issue. So we really work much more deeply with the person and their system, meaning their body.
Now you talk about that reflexes can become unintegrated, and I found that really interesting. What does that mean exactly?
Okay, so that's a different modality altogether. So that's not, Wallace Method does not work with reflexes.
Okay.
So,
Okay, so that's something different altogether.
Yes.
Okay. So when you're working with the patient, you're integrating the Wallace Method with these other things.
Well, I am. I do, because I've studied, you know, these other modalities. And so if I see that, like I have a client who, she's 80 years old and she keeps tipping to the left. You know, like she's riding her bike and she'll fall to the left, or or she's going upstairs and she'll tip, you know, she'll just, or knock into the person to the left of her if she's walking with someone to the left. So that's a reflex then. That's something's going on inside her body where she keeps tipping to the left. So I work. That's another thing, though. We can talk about that maybe another time, I think.
Sure. Yep. No, that sounds great.
Okay.
So I have a question. So as you've been going through all these different trainings and learning throughout your process, what brought you to the Wallace Method?
So we each have very different and, I think, very interesting stories. I hope you'll find them interesting. So for me, when I was 17, I was in a very serious car accident, and I was stuck in between the steering wheel and the seat for too long. And when I was able to get out, I couldn't walk upright for about 4 months. And I don't know if I fractured my pelvis or not, because back then they didn't even do an X-ray. You know, they just sent you home. Yeah. So back then, I'm not that old, but you know, but they turned into it then. And you know, that was kind of the start of the issue. So I had so then when I was about 22, it really kind of started to hurt my sacroiliac joint, and it would hurt down my leg, and I started getting sciatica, and I couldn't put my pants on standing up. I couldn't work very well standing up, and I was a massage therapist, so that was kind of affecting my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at a chiropractic office, and, you know, I got very good care there, and I got a lot of massage, but those two things weren't, you know, they would help me for a couple of days, but not long term. I wasn't healing it. I was working part-time as a massage therapist and part-time in an office, and one of the other people working in the office told me that she was seeing this woman named Heather Wallace, who this woman had documented, she had herniated cervical discs. So herniated discs in the neck. And she didn't want to have surgery. So she went to see Heather, and she says, what have I got to lose? You know, it can't hurt me. And so let me try this for however long she decided to try it for. And in fact, she was, Heather, through this work, she literally gave her more length, not through traction, but through movement and this particular method. And so then she went back and had another X-ray, and it all looked healthy. So her herniated discs were back to the normal position.
That's unheard of.
So I thought, that's a great testimonial. So I want to go see this woman. So I went to see her for my hip, and she helped me, and she taught me what I liked about it the most was that she taught me what I could do at home. So she gave me all that. It's not like exercises, okay? It's not like you do five of these for 15 minutes or, you know, it's a technique. So you follow a set of principles and you keep moving. And she also had some classes where you could go and get support and practice. So I went regularly twice a week to the classes. And then I gradually didn't have to see her one-on-one anymore. And after a while I said, man, this is phenomenal. You've got to teach me. So I was, and Natasha and I, we were part of her very first group of proteges, you know, that learned the method. So that's my story.
Wow. How about you, Natasha?
Well, at 17 or so, I almost really literally coughed too hard, and I had what they call a spondylolisthesis, which is a barbaric name to describe a very teeny bone part of a vertebra that breaks, and then your vertebra moves forward. This was my lumbar 5, so it's very low, and it moved quite significantly forward. And the only thing really that followed that was a scary diagnostic with a lot of warning and fear really put into me that if I did this or if I did that, I could have a very horrible surgery. So I was 17. I got really worried about what I was doing physically, and I started physical therapy, which I did for years. I was already in physical therapy, and I honestly think that it made matters worse. I'm jumping forward, but when I finally got to Heather Wallace, she said I was so twisted that probably that's what brought this vertebra to break. So I go back to doing years of physical therapy, and then finally I moved to the U.S. I come here, and someone says you should go to Sister Kenny's, but that was full. So I ended up at Fairview Riverside, a chronic pain clinic of the time. And there is Heather Wallace. And she just started working on me. And she was really starting herself in a way. She had not yet put together the Wallace method. She came from yoga. She was really, really big on yoga. But she was smart enough to really give a lot of leeway and really encourage people to make it theirs, to not, just follow the model. There was no competition. We were all broken in that place.
Yeah.
So you couldn't push too hard anyway.
Right.
And that really, really started something for me from day one, because it started really giving me the idea that I could feel myself, that I could actually feel what was going on inside. And in a way, I could trust it very much, actually, as long as I went really slowly and gently. And that with time, it would improve through that gentle, slow exploration. And man, did it. I did lecture. I went to the classes very regularly for 7 years. I mean, I was a mess. So the time is really irrelevant. The time I spent getting better is irrelevant. Because really, honestly, if I look back, I'd not change my experience for all the money in the world. I would still want to go through all the steps, all the days, all the fear, all everything. Because it also really helped me in many other ways. So, but my body got to finally be pain-free completely. I was only worsening. It was getting terrible. I was in pain almost all the time. And if I was not in pain, I was in fear of pain. And it took only the most minute of gesture for me to be completely stuck. And so now, oh, boy, while I was working with Heather, I went to upholstery school, became an upholsterer. And that's a physical work. And when I started, I could not really, I knew I could not do it long term. That's why I went to the pain clinic. And by the 2 weeks later, I was actually starting to be able to do the work because I could take care of myself along the way. It went that fast. She gave me enough that I could just start really being very physical. And that's very much my story. You know, it only got better. And I was fascinated by the work. And at some point, I got a very, very early menopause. And I became really sensitive to chemicals and dust. So I had to stop the upholstery. And, of course, it just happened naturally. I went, oh, of course, Wallace method work. So that's how it happened.
Those are pretty amazing stories. That's so interesting that, you know, kind of trauma, you know, made you both follow this path instead of just being complacent and accepting that that was your life from now on. You kept looking for answers and looking and seeking. And I think that's really, from the guests we've had on, it seems like, I love the backstories. They're the best because they right away tell you what kind of person that you're talking to. It's these people that just don't give up. They're not happy with like the status quo. It's like, no, this isn't right. I'm going to figure it out. I don't care how long it takes. And then it's like, they get it. They hit the thing. They find the thing.
No, that is not my story. It is not, because there's something about chronic pain. I had chronic pain for really literally 13 years and in my youth. And it really, really got to the point where I really had no hope. I had absolutely no hope that anything would help me, because I was told by the doctors that they could not help me. So it, for me, it really is only by accident that I encountered this woman. But as soon as she was there and she gave me whatever little bit she started to give me, then, yeah, of course, inside, I wished, that's what I discovered. I had really wanted to know who I was outside of the pain.
And to allow someone to work for you, that's taking a chance too, you know, because that's a vulnerable place to be. To be in pain is such a, I mean, I've not been in chronic pain, but like just to have someone, because they could maybe make it worse. So to have someone want to help you and to you for you accept and be like, okay, I trust that this might work. That's a really vulnerable place to be too. And that's a place of kind of hope too, that you will, okay, fine, I'll try this thing.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we'd like people to know too that there is hope. There might be hope, you know, like after hearing these two stories, you know, and then we have more we have more stories of our clients that know, have been through everything and this is finally what worked for them.
How did they find you? I mean, how I don't know, Char, if I read this in your when you're answering the questions or if on your website, I'm not sure because I was reading everything I could find. But somewhere I read about muscle memory, how when you are, you know, getting, you know, stretching and doing these gentle movements, the reason that people can get better and stay better, whether it takes 6 months or 2 years, is because the muscles kind of relearn where they're supposed to be, which is different than, you know, other methods of adjustment.
Okay. Well, the body's always looking for balance. You know, so you're always looking for that balance, and really, it's more the bone structure. So we're we're really working with the bones to get the skeletal structure back into balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do that. We look at the bones. I mean, we picture the bones.
Yeah.
And we manipulate them. because there are mechanical properties to our skeleton. I mean, not the skeleton without the muscles and the tendons and the fascia, but the ensemble of the structure is really a mechanical structure. I mean, you can look at it that way. It's a living one with a person in it, but it has mechanical properties. And so once you realize that, you can make great use of it to free the system of its entanglement.
We use what's free in the structure to free what's not free.
Oh.
That's my little phrase. So
that's really,
you know, if someone comes in who's hurting, and we don't go right to where it hurts. You know, don't start there. We start far away from there. We use what's free already. And we sort of, it's like you almost sort of trick the body in a way into going, I didn't know I could do that because it hurts, you know, it hurts in my hips.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I could move my other leg that way, you know.
Oh.
Well, you use that then to get in and you kind of come in from a different path.
Okay.
Yeah.
A path of least resistance.
Yes, absolutely. Path of
in
least
a way,
resistance.
And
I
you
like
want
that.
To connect. We aim to connect the pieces. We don't isolate.
Mm-hmm.
We try to reconnect everything, and that's we start at the most surface level and really making people feel how safe they are, because that also contributes to their relaxing and opening, and the tissue can relax. And then you can get in gently. You don't have to provoke any more trauma. It's counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go really, really slowly and yet very deeply at the first stop, the first constriction, if you want, the first restriction. You encounter it. You do slow movement. It's a technique. You know, cannot be described on the radio. Really, it's hard enough to talk about it most of the time. But really, it is a process of going deeper and deeper. And and taking into account the fact that each person is absolutely unique, and this work is really the most customized possible, because we get information directly from the body and continuously from the body. So it's not mm-hmm. a cookie cutter. It's not a procedure.
Mm-hmm. No, never. Right, right. It's every person's session is completely different from every other person, and even from their own session last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's agreeable. It really is. Mm-hmm.
We work
really
very closely with
good.
The person with they're telling us, you know, what's happening. Okay, what's happening now? How's that feeling? What's happening? You know, so that then mm-hmm. they feel like they have a little control. We don't work on people. We
okay.
work with them, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Joyce, did you have a question?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Oh, Joyce. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Oh, yes. Me. I wanted to ask, like, where or how long did, like, when you went to learn this method from Heather, Wallace, did it take for you, or how long was the course, and what were kind of the expectations? I'm just interested.
Yeah.
I'll answer that first, and Char, you can
okay.
maybe.
Okay.
Heather was a very, she was really a genius. She was a bit of an odd bird as well. She was not great at really, she did the work, but she was not great at communicating it. Yet she did through the physical work. I mean, you got it, but she could not put words to it very easily. So we all, the first generation wannabe practitioners, really had to deal with this, and it wasn't always satisfying. But what happened is that each individual got whatever they got from it. And then Heather was really taken away from us too soon, and we all developed our own understanding of what this work was about. And so, you know, Char and I have been collaborating for quite a while now, a couple of years, and we really have the absolute same basic understanding, but we differ in some small ways. And so, like, I think in all methods, every practitioner is different from the other. So we just have really had a very, very incredible amount of training from fixing our own bodies, first of all. That was the most productive training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then working with Heather, that was as productive. It kept informing our system. And then eventually, once you were in better shape and you could move better, you could better understand what had happened to you and why you were feeling better. Mm-hmm. But it only looking back, for me at least, only looking back. And then professional experience, started working on other bodies, and really, like Heather did, learn from experience and observation. And, you know, I met Heather in 89 and Char probably shortly after that. And so it's been a long time. It's getting to be, you know, it's over 25 years of experience.
Wow.
So Char, yeah.
So those beginnings, I actually met her in 94. I'm sorry, what was the question? What was the original question, Joyce?
Oh, I was asking.
Oh, the training.
Like how
the training.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. So, yes, I'm going to, say to, that first group, it was just a group of people that said, Heather, can you teach this? Please, we'd like to learn this. And so it was very, very informal. And so there still is not a formal schooling for it. And that, as Natasha said, that she and I are collaborating on coming up with a curriculum for it so we can teach it. So
that would be wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And I mean, everything has its beginnings somewhere, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and so we're it right now. We're the ones who will hopefully be able to bring this to more people, so that they can be helped. So we hope.
Yeah. I guess that's why I was led to ask the question, huh? Because you guys
are gonna... I knew that. I was like, Dory's going to try to get trained in the walls method now. Here we go.
All right, Dory, great.
Yes. So I imagine the reason that you, that both of you then, both Shar and Natasha, that you moved on to then open a practice and have that it says your business is because it had such a profound effect on your life. You felt compelled to share that with others.
Yes.
Okay.
We don't want it to die. You know, we don't want the message to die. So.
I think that I'm hoping that really there are other people in this world that are going to come up, if they haven't already, with that same vision, because it is not. It's not complicated, a premise, really, when it's just looking at the body again without, you know, forgetting all the rules and the methods that came before, in a way, and just looking for what works.
Right.
And really, you need it to be safe, you know, and, but you also need it to acknowledge the complexity of the human body, especially when it's entangled. It is not when it gets to a level of pain, there is the person that is frightened, and then there is also just complex situations.
It's
like
not
mine
straightforward.
Was.
Yeah, it's not straightforward.
It's not always straightforward. It rarely is.
I mean, I'd like to share, if I could. We have about 3 minutes, I think, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. About and I think we've both had, and Heather has had too, profound results with certain clients. And I had this one guy who was 26 years old, and he came in and he was like a bug. I mean, he could not extend a single joint in his body. He was just curled in, and they didn't know what was wrong with him. The doctors called it stiff man syndrome. And at 26, you know, we told him, go ahead, you want to better pick out a wheelchair because that's where you're headed, and that they could do nothing for him. And so I worked with him. We worked 3 times a week. I was very green at this at that time. And I was kind of like, oh, sure, we can get you out of this. No problem. But he was also working, which is very important. He was working with diet. He didn't. He didn't eat any. He switched, you know, from his diet as a college student. He was a PhD student, and he was eating fast food. And he switched his diet all over to all organic. And you know, he really learned a lot about nutrition. Thank goodness he was doing that at the same time, because that's really important. You're fighting against, you know, something you can't fight against if a person is putting, you know, toxins into the body.
Right.
So, and we worked 3 times a week, and then it was down. It was getting better. He was gradually getting better. He never had to go into a wheelchair. He was straightening up. He was like, we'd come in and go, look, I can open my elbow all the way now. And he was starting to be able to walk to classes, you know, just gradually. It took us 8 years. I worked with him for 8 years. So it was 3 times a week down to 2 times, then 1 time, and then it was once a month. And then he would come in occasionally. And he did, believe me, he did all his homework, you know.
Wow.
But he's now healthy. I'm getting chills telling you the story, you know, because he's healthy and he's fully functioning. He's gotten married. He's got a family. You know, it's like, you know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How old is he now? Was that quite a long time ago?
So he's probably like 39 or something now.
Okay. And I mean, do people still come back, or is it like once it's really resolved, then that's it?
He moved away. He's a professor now in Michigan somewhere, at some university in Michigan. So he moved away. When he came back to visit his parents, he used to come in and just kind of check in and get a session, you know, but he doesn't need to anymore. You know,
he's amazing.
Yeah.
Gosh, talk about someone giving them their life back.
Yeah.
We have had that, Natasha, right? I mean, what greater reward, you know, for someone than someone to say, I got my life back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Well, Natasha, I'd love to hear a story from you if you would be willing to, after we take a quick break here.
Sure.
And then I'd also like to share how people can get in touch with both you, Natasha, and Shar, if they would like to make an appointment.
Of course.
And read more about what you do. So we'll be back here on Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio, back with Shar Tarana and Natasha talking about the Wallace Method. Be back soon.
In this digital society, making connections is quickly becoming a lost art form. Yet, if you are a small business owner, building your network is the only way you can get ahead. Can these skills be learned? You bet they can. Read Nose to Nose Networking, No Nonsense In-Person Networking Tips from a Master. Who's the master? Well, who better to teach networking and friend-building skills than a golden retriever? The author, Melanie Hope, takes the antics of Abigail and translates them into the human experience. Through Abby, you will learn how to set your intention, build a network, and get into and out of conversations with grace. If you love the Dog Abby segments on Counterculture Wise Radio, you will love Nose to Nose Networking even more. Find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in hard copy, Kindle, and Nook. Visit counterculturewise.com for direct links. Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home, MyZestiness.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Welcome back to Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. We are back with Shar Tarana and Natasha Drexler, and we are talking about the Wallace Movement. I'm your host, Annie Booker.
And I'm Joyce Holt.
And so we heard an amazing story from you, Shar, about a man who, I mean, really got his life back. It took 8 years, but he went from basically being able to do nothing and a future in a wheelchair to living a normal life and having a family and becoming a professor, all from this like gentle movement, listening to the body, work that you're teaching us about.
Yes.
That's amazing. Natasha, I would love it if you could share a story of success that you've seen over the last 25 years.
Sure. Just to say, really for me, my own story is the most amazing one, just because
right.
I was in there, you know. And it is very, it's actually really become an asset for me to really know that much about pain. So a bad thing really turned into a great thing.
Yeah.
But I had a client who was an airline mechanic, actually, here in the Twin Cities. And so she worked a lot overhead. And after a while, a few years of that, she started really having a lot of pain. And what the airline did to not fire her, they moved her to the cleaning crew aboard the planes,
oh.
which meant really that she
had
to she had to straddle some armrests, get up on that, and use both arms above her head again to clean the overhead compartments, you know? So she came to me. She actually came to Heather, and then Heather, you know, disappeared. And she came to me, and really, it was impossible to bring either arm anywhere across her chest. It was the both arms were completely stuck on the side of her, and so anything almost at the beginning, almost anything that I did so very gently and slowly, I mean really you can't imagine how slow and gentle we can go if necessary, but that still was very it could be very painful, and she was frightened. So it's only through very, very small increments, excuse me, that we were able to bring her to the point where, like a free body does, you can bring your arm across to the other side, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened, and then we even succeeded in opening the shoulders enough that she could bring both arms backwards to her back, to the back of hers. And to this day, once in a while, I look at her picture. I took a picture the day that we achieved this, when she had both arms crossed. I mean, really,
oh my goodness.
In her back. So she was so deserving, you know. She had worked so hard all her life and ended up so crippled. But she had still years of life ahead of her. She was retired, but she was, you know, eager to have activities and living and be all right, you know, at least get a chance. And so the work accomplished that. It really did help her very much.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
It's
how
wonderful.
Long did that take? Did you say that? Did I miss it?
How long? It probably took something like 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
not,
did she go
you know,
back to that
quick.
Job? No, she retired, right? You said
no,
she retired.
She was retired. Thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
even I think that even if she had gone back, well, you know, I mean, that's the problem with the life for a lot of us. People, we can, you know, have to do things that are not really good for the body. But the at least to give yourself a chance to be somewhat okay by learning what you can do to really actually counter some of the forceful and repetitive motion that you have to do for your work, for example. You can actually minimize at least some of the effects.
Right. Yeah. The way we live right now, there's in no way natural to how our bodies are supposed to be moving, at least for most of us.
Yeah, and the tension, you know, the competitive environment, all that contributes to shrinking, really, and tightening.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good to reopen, you know, and relax. It's So you can do things. Everybody, you know, anybody, there are things to do, whatever your activity is, unless you have three jobs for, you know, five children and three ex-husbands or ex-wives, you know, I mean, there are extreme situations. Even the Wallace won't be able to help, you know.
Anything less than that. Lifestyle changes that need to be done?
That's awesome. Well, we're already to the end of our time, which is unfortunate because I feel like we could talk about this for another hour. But, Char, why don't you start? Can you tell people how they could find you, how to make an appointment?
Yes. So people can call me. Should I offer my phone number here? Okay. They can call me at 612-267-6603. I do have a website, and there's a lot of information on the website, and there's also how to contact me on the website or through the website, and that is www.terrasoma.com So those would be the two best ways to contact me.
Okay. And how about you, Natasha?
My phone number would be 651-444-9516. And my website is Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E, dash, works, W-O-R-K-S, dot org.
Dot org.
And I have an email address, which is Wallasings, you know, Wallasings, W-A-L-L-A-C-E. INDS@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on with us. I would for sure like to have you back to talk more about this because I want to hear some more stories. And Char, we need to talk more about these this reflux thing that I was reading about.
Okay.
So, thank you both so much. Thank you, Natasha, for being on too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Later.
Thanks for having us.
Bye. Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, that was amazing.
That was really interesting. Yeah. I just love how many different opportunities there are for people to find healing. And I love how unique each one is. She got me thinking with the what you said disappeared. So I had to look up this Heather Wallace, and she passed away in 2015. It didn't really give much more information than that. Seems like a really interesting technique to use. It sounds like it kind of came off of, you know, a little bit of a branch off from yoga.
Right.
And so it sounds really interesting, especially coming off of my most recent training information, which I would find is fluid, right? Because everybody looks at the world from a different place.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's always good to hear and expand your mind when it comes to things. Because oftentimes, just like when the doctors say, there's nothing else I can do for you.
Right.
You know, and that's where I think, you know, this is where I feel like they're a little bit short-sighted when they say things like that. It's like, yeah, maybe there is nothing else you can do for me, but it does not mean that there isn't something else that I can do or out there that somebody can help me. And so I always feel, you know, and I also
from Natasha's story of being, you know, chronically in pain and living like that for so long, I think that there is that hopelessness that comes along. I think that actually every single one of these practitioners that have come out of situations like that did have a point of hopelessness.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I just love how, I mean, in your case too, when people are faced, how resilient people are. I mean, most people, I think, are faced with these challenges. And I know that there are some people that give up or they feel like they've given up, but there's that little spark of hope that makes them try that like one last thing or one last step or meet with that one last practitioner. And it's just to hear so many stories like that as we have through the last, you know, 2 months is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, and it's amazing how when you really, you know, some people's paths are a little bit easier, but yet they trusted, right? So,
right.
It's the trust of the path that, you know, as it weaved and turned, they wrote it. And maybe not feeling like they were writing it very well, because I can tell you when I rode my way into holistic dentistry, that was a pretty not so fun time in my life.
Right.
And probably one of my bigger lows. And so, but when you look back at it, it's like, oh, I get it now. And if you have enough of those experiences where you go from kind of rock bottom into something better, you realize that it's not really rock bottom.
Right. Well, like Natasha said, the 13 years she lived in chronic pain, she went and trained it because it gave her so much perspective and it made her the practitioner she is today and able to serve people in a way that someone who hadn't lived in chronic pain for 13 years would just have no idea. I mean, you want to empathize with people, but if you haven't been there, you don't really know. You can empathize and feel bad and try to work with people, but if you don't know, you don't know. That, I mean, that's it.
That's the same thing with, like, even my kids, like, them, you know, me not being able to have children and adopting. And I sit with my kids all the time, and, you know, they're wonderful people. And I just think to myself, I don't think I would have wanted it any other way.
Right.
Because they wouldn't have been them. And or they wouldn't have been in my life, or I wouldn't have been their mom. And everything about being their mom, it's in my mind perfect, though yes, there are challenging times, but I feel like we were matched, divinely matched to be together for this lifetime. And so even in like a hard emotion or moment this morning, like my son this morning, we were cleaning the house because I was been studying for the last week, which meant nothing got done.
Right.
You know, and so I'm like, all right, we need to get this place back in order before the week starts. And, you know, my son didn't want to help me. You know, and I said, well, you know, can you help sweep? Can you sweep the living room? And he's like, okay. And he grabs the broom, like 30 seconds later, he's like, done.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, did you do a good job? Yeah, I did a good job. They said, all right, well, you can put your head on the wall because for lying. And then he got really mad at me. And he says, well, how long? You know? And, like, it was this, basically this battle of the wills a little bit. Not that I was super calm. I was pretty proud of myself because I was just like, hey, you can either help us clean or you can sit with your head on the wall for the next hour. Your choice. Like, these are the things. He's like, I don't want either of these choices. this family sucks. You know, I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'd rather be cleaning for the next hour than sitting
right
on the wall. But, you know, I mean, we have our choices we're making here, you know. And, you know, he pretty much yelled, you know, he kept yelling. And I was like, you know, at what point are you going to, like, you know, I get that you want to watch TV right now, or I get that you want to do something else. And he kept saying, I'm bored. And I was like, yeah. But you're making a choice to be.
Right.
You know, and honestly, I don't think boredom is bad for kids. I think it's a good
opportunity. It's wonderful. Absolutely.
I think it's a good opportunity for them to appreciate the other parts of life. And even in those moments, and I think we're well paired in the sense that, like, even my husband, we're very, like, we don't really get, it's nice because when my son is getting super escalated in his anger, we aren't feeding into that. You know, we're just like, all right, well, this is it. And you can do that, but, you know, there's going to be consequences if you're, you know, but go ahead, you know, like.
Right, right.
You know, you're going to learn. I mean, there's no reason for us to be yelling at, you know, escalating the situation by yelling at you because you're yelling at us. And, like,
right.
Just like, well, this is life. I mean, we're cleaning the house as a family. I mean, and it's so cute because my 2-year-old wants to clean. Like, he gets mad if he uses a rag to be able to clean.
Yes.
You know,
that's,
he's like,
age.
I want to clean.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's fun, isn't it? He's like, yeah. And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, you enjoy that. Well, you can, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, but the other, you know, and so we worked through it and he did end up helping and it was fine, but it was just like this moment of, all right, well, you know, you live here too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And me and my husband spent a whole hour pairing socks this morning and we kept just saying to ourselves, how is it possible that we cannot find a pair of socks, like a matching pair.
Right.
Like, how is that possible? How do you deal with that dilemma?
Me?
Of socks. Yeah.
So we'll just keep, you know, we have a very small house. There's not many nooks and crannies, but so what I do is, you know, we wash and dry everything and the leftover socks will go into pull out drawers and like match them up. And honestly, whatever is left, we just donate or the kids can use as crafts. I don't mess with single socks. I don't, you know what I mean? It's just, I can't deal with like having extra stuff around. It's like, look in your drawer, go through it. If it's not there, it goes in the bag. And then, you know, we'll donate it or we'll give it, you know, use it for crafts, whatever.
Yeah. It's so funny. Cause I was like, that's it. You know, the next time it takes a minute for us to find another pair, I'm done.
Right.
Period.
Right. Yep.
Like, I'm not, after an hour of standing here going, I thought we did good, actually.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's it. Next time it takes us 60 seconds to find one, we're done. We're just throwing in the towel. The rest can go away. And it's just it is what it is. Or they can stay around until we finish all the laundry and we'll do it one more time and then they're out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a funny thing because I hate pairing socks.
My daughter loves it. And so when I'm doing laundry, she'll sit there and she likes to find the matches. She's very much like me though. I find any sort of like organizing or things like that, I absolutely love it. So pairing socks or doing those little piddly tasks that are just like no one wants to do them. I don't know why. I think it's just because I have, again, it's my quiet space. No one is bugging me because no one else wants to do this job. And I just get to sit there. There's a right and a wrong. You match these two together. That's how it is. Done, you know, done, organized. And so that's kind of been her thing. Like, Gabby, there's the whole, you know, bottom of the thing that's filled with socks. And she's like, oh, I'm coming. Okay. Great.
I'm going to move into the whole minimalist thing for clothes this year.
We were thinking about that. Like maybe four outfits or whatever. Like these are your, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think 7 will be good.
7, whatever.
You know, and then like 2 pairs of pajamas, you know. You get 7 pairs of socks, 7 pairs of underwear. That's it. And maybe that's too much.
Right.
But
I'd probably go more with the socks and underwear just because my kids still be like, I ran through the sprinkler and I got wet and I'm not going to do laundry. I don't do laundry necessarily every week. So it's like probably double that with socks and underwear. But as far as clothes, nope. You can 2 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of shorts. Oh,
I mean, it would just be so much easier. So much easier. And, you know, it just, and my oldest son just throws his socks places and it drives me nuts. I'm like, and then I can't ever find his socks. And here I have 20 socks and no matches. And I'm like, how is this possible that none of these go together?
Right. Yes.
And my mom always will come over and she'll be like, you have no matching socks. So then she'll buy more socks.
Yeah.
Which is so nice. And bring over socks. And it's like, I hate socks.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Eventually, we'll get rid of the other ones, and then we will keep only a few, and then maybe life will get better, or we'll just have no socks.
One way or the other, you're not going to have a whole drawer full of socks.
No. Well, I'm so glad to have had the two wonderful ladies with the Wallace Method on today. They really taught us a ton about what they do. It just sounds really intriguing. And certainly something
yeah.
I would at least try once because it sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then who do we have on next week, Annie?
So next week we have my friend Katie Newman, and I know her through the book club that Stephen was at. I don't know how I got connected with her exactly. And so she's going to be on next week, and we're still kind of ironing out the details of what she's going to talk about. She has a wide range of knowledge. She's been working with a ketogenic lifestyle for a while, and she has some amazing stories there. She also has some upcoming things that she would like to talk about. So we're still narrowing down exactly what the best topic would be for our interview, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, that's good. And then the following week we have Candy from Natural Awakenings Magazine, which is a Twin Cities one. She's the owner of that magazine, so we'll have her on and kind of get, you know, how she got into this and learn a little bit more about what Natural Awakenings Magazine is.
Yeah.
She also, like I said last week, she also has a radio show on Sundays at 10:30 on AM 950,
okay,
locally in the Twin Cities area, and I'll have her talk a little bit more about that as well, because, you know, she has different connections too in regards to different practitioners, and I feel like more information is always better when it comes to things. I believe in informed consent.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely, you know,
you can make a decision based on limited knowledge, or you can make a decision based on a lot of knowledge. So
yeah,
I always prefer the a lot of knowledge, simply because you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, like learning about the Wallace Method today, I knew nothing about it. And I've met and worked with a lot of practitioners over the years, so it's really fun to hear about a new and different method, not necessarily new to me.
Right.
So that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't remember who we have left. I don't have my, I was not prepared and don't have my day planner down here for the last weekend in July. But someone is coming on. Oh, I think it's going to be Emma and Hero. And they are college students in their sophomore or junior year of college. And I thought it would be really cool. They're crafters, they're photographers, and they're writers. And Hero is, I taught him how to bake sourdough when he was in town, and he makes kombucha, and Emma does art, and teaching my kids art starting tomorrow. And so they're a very young couple who are on their way to kind of self-sustainability. They have a different goal and a different way they want their future to look like, I think, than many other college students. So I thought it'd be really cool to kind of see what's happening in the lives of 20-year-olds, you know, what are they doing?
Different?
Yeah, they're both in college, so they're following the college path, but what comes after is, I think, pretty non-traditional.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's been a great week again here on Connected Revelations, and I just want to thank everybody for joining us, and should you have missed this episode or you want to share this episode, it'll be available starting tomorrow, which is Monday, via a web link, which we'll be posting to our Facebook page, Connected Revelations. So what else to say other than, do you have anything coming up for your blog this week?
No, I think that's about it. And we are officially out of time. So we will catch you all next Sunday on Connected Revelation on Freedomizer Radio. Have a wonderful
week. Well, have a great week. See you next week.
Thank you.